It's hard to keep up with all the senseless killings, the assassination of police officers, the crying of defund the police continues, and the crime rate, of course, goes up. And we're concerned, of course, for the situation in our country, and rightly so. Let's study together this morning a study of Cain. And the reason I think this would make a good study for us all is to see why Cain became the first murderer. And notice questions that were asked by God and one question asked by Cain. And we'll also want to see the aftermath of Cain's sins against God. So let's begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious word in our Bible classes, but we're also striving to worship God in spirit and in truth in our worship service by having a proper attitude and following the pattern of the New Testament. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else we need to mention, if you are wanting to study the Bible, opening up our Bibles together, we're glad to do that at your convenience. And of course, we want to mention about questions and comments. They're always welcome. Yes, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to make a study of Cain, the first murderer. And by going to Genesis chapter 4, we'll not only learn why Cain became the first murderer, but valuable spiritual lessons which will apply to us all. And so let's study together from Genesis chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, children are a gift from God, are they not? Yes, we know they are, and we need to appreciate that. Well, verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In other words, he was farming. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. So he became angry because God had rejected his offering. Well, we need to understand that God gave the commands for what was to be offered. And obviously, Cain did not follow God's command. And Abel, however, did offer what God had commanded, a blood sacrifice. Well, let's see the questions now in verse 6, as we'll look at questions 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry, Cain? That's question number 1. And question number 2, and why is thy countenance fallen? Yes, he was really upset. Well, God's divine warning, if heeded by Cain, would have prevented him from allowing his anger turn into hate, which led to his act of violence. That's right. What hate does, we're to hate sin. That's a proper hate, but we're not to hate anyone. That's never right. We're to love the souls of man. We don't have to appreciate evil actions, wickedness, of course not. God hates sin, but we're never to hate the person. And you see, yes, God had accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering because, again, Abel's offering was in accordance to God's command, but Cain's offering was not. It's just that clear. As we go now to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the great hall of faith, we refer to this chapter a lot. By faith, well, let's ask, what kind of faith? Faith only? No, of course not. By faith, Abel, notice, action is going to take place, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Yes, Abel's been dead since not long after creation, but we're still talking about Abel today, and we'll continue to talk about him, those that are living on this earth until the Lord comes again. He's still speaking, in other words. His actions, his faith, yes, came by hearing the command of God, and he acted upon it. It wasn't just a belief-only faith, was it? Well, of course not. And so God's questions to Cain should have caused Cain to realize that it was God who had the right to be angry, not Cain. So let's notice this. Whenever man is angry at someone else for his own sins, it's what? It's very foolish. But unfortunately, it's all too common. That's the sad truth, is it not? Now, God has the right to accept or reject any offering, and all of us should readily agree. There shouldn't be any misunderstanding of that point. God is with the sovereign right to accept or reject any offering. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So that's something we need to appreciate, that God loves someone who is determining before they go to the worship service what they're going to give as part of their worship. It's already determined, and they're doing so with a cheerful heart, really appreciating the opportunity to give back what's already God's, and do so, yes, with the proper attitude. But something else we need to know about ourselves is, are we living as a living sacrifice, not only giving as we've been prospered and doing so cheerfully, but a daily walk in the light as he is in the light, and living as a living sacrifice? Well, that was in Romans 12, 1, wasn't it, where Paul was writing to the Church of Christ at Rome, and he was admonishing them to do this very thing. Yes, Paul was an inspired apostle when he penned these words I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's right. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. Well, let's notice verse 2 also. And be not conformed to this world. Now, they're trying to conform us into being politically correct in our own country. But we're in need of understanding the rest of this verse. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Therefore, if what the world is wanting us to conform to is not the will of God, we reject it. And we stay with the will of God, no matter how many do not. We keep preaching and teaching the truth, no matter how many do not. No matter how many are persecuted because of it. Because it's the truth. And everyone needs to hear the truth and not be just hearers only, but doers of the word. We don't want to be deceiving ourselves. As James 1:22 tells us, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Of course, that's right. But let's notice now question number 3, Genesis 4, verse 7. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? God asked Cain this question. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. So, notice the question again. God asked, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Well, Cain thought that God should have been pleased with his offering because he was pleased, but he failed to obey God's command. So whether he's pleased with himself or not, the important fact is he failed to obey God's command. So we all need to understand that what pleases us may not please God. Now we need to really understand this because countless people are thinking that they're pleasing God, yet they're not following his commands. Notice Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's repeated in Chapter 16, verse 25. Let's go over that again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. That's what we're talking about. Cain was pleased with his offering, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's not pleasing God. And we need to be absolutely certain that what we're doing is pleasing God when we're worshiping God. Are we doing it according to the New Testament pattern? As we submit to the gospel of Christ, we need to know what the gospel of Christ would have us to do to become a child of God. There's steps to be taken. It's not just faith only or belief only or grace only. We need to have, of course, faith. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, but we need to do other things as well, such as repent, confess with the mouth unto salvation, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and then live faithfully even unto death. So there's still more to do after we're saved by the blood of Christ. But understand that God's grace is certainly a part of salvation, but it's not grace alone. If that were the case, everyone would be saved. And we know that's not true. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. It's available for everyone, but you have to do something. Works of righteousness, not works of merit. That's where people get all messed up. Yeah, that's it. They're thinking, well, I'm not to do any work. That'd be works of merit. No, works of righteousness are required. And we need to appreciate that lesson, do we not? Well, again, as we're studying this third question, shall thou not be accepted? Well, if you do what God says, you will. But if you do not, then you're not accepted. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Man's obedience has always been required by God. That's the case all the time. The sovereignty of God gives him the right of legislation. He is worthy of our full respect and love, is he not? We better all say, yes, of course he is. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, not half a heart. No, sir, that's not going to get it. It's got to be all. Yes, in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So we need to respond to the love of God. We need to be as Jeremiah was and realize, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And the sooner we understand that, the better in our life. So let's ask ourselves this question. Is God directing my steps? And if not, I better change it. I better change that situation and submit to his will. In Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of God. In the authority, that is, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, submitting to the will of God, in other words. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. Christ did. By the things which he suffered and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? That obey him. Hebrews 5:8-9. Do we desire to be accepted by God? Then we must obey the gospel of Christ and continue submitting to his authority. Well, let's go on now to questions 4 and 5. Genesis 4:9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? That's question 4. And here's question 5 asked by Cain. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, we need to back up and read verse 8 and see why these questions were asked. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Here's the violent act. The first murderer was Cain, and taking the life of his own brother Abel. And thus the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? We know God knows everything. This question was reminding Cain of his sinful action. God knew what had happened, and he knew where Cain was. His soul would be in paradise. Yes, Cain reacted by lying to God. I know not, when God asked that question. That's what we're seeing here, isn't it? That's what we see. Cain lied. And then he asked, am I my brother's keeper? Which shows his deception and contempt. Cain did not believe that he was his brother's keeper. He certainly didn't believe that, as we all should see, as he had no concern for his brother's state. Am I supposed to watch him all the time? It kind of sounds like that's what he's saying. Am I my brother's keeper? Do I need to look after him? In other words, this answer showed his heart was hardened, and he was without respect for God, his creator. Remember the lack of concern by the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, as you see here, the man was willing to justify himself and said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And this is the answer Jesus gave by giving the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. "Well, I don't want to get involved," was his attitude. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. At least he gave him a look, but that wasn't enough, was it? Of course not. He passed by on the other side. And as we know, as we continue, but a certain Samaritan, that's a half race person, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Notice Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." There it is. That's what we're to do. Yes, who is our neighbor? Anybody that's in a need situation like this man was. And he was a certain man, didn't say who he was. So what caused Cain to murder his brother Abel instead of being his brother's keeper? Number one, the sin of envy. 1 John 3:12, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." The sin of envy is obviously involved, is it not? We see that it is. Now, let's go to Proverbs 6:34. "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance." Well, we need to take heed. Certainly, it bubbles up in a person, causes rage, and thus that's going to go further, is it not? Well, since Cain's offering was accepted and Cain's was not, he became envious of Abel. And this is a sin of disposition, which weakens the soul. Proverbs 14:30, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." And let's notice some other scriptures. Acts 13:45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Yes, that's what happened. They became envious that here are people wanting to hear the truth, the word of God. Imagine being jealous and envious over that. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness." Notice, full of envy. And what follows that? Murder. That's right. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. You see, those two are together. Now, James 3, 14 and 16. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where," notice, "for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So envy causes hate, which can lead to murder. It certainly did in Cain's case. And it also was the motivation in putting Jesus to death on the cross. Pilate knew that the Jews delivered Jesus before him because of their envy. Matthew 27:18. We don't want to be guilty of the sin of envy, or any other sin, of course, but as we're seeing, this is one of the reasons that Cain killed his brother. And certainly there are no reasons for that, but what caused Cain to murder his brother, better to say, was the sin of envy. And we'll have to put a peg here, and we want to discuss another cause, Lord willing, next week, in the aftermath of Cain's sins. But as we've studied together today, we've learned that the Lord was the one who had the right to be angry with Cain, not the other way around. And Cain, trying to justify himself, was certainly in need of understanding what he had done, and asked the Lord for forgiveness, beg and plead for forgiveness. But that wasn't his attitude, as we've seen. Now, as we learn from this study today, we don't want to have hate in our hearts. Envy certainly will lead to hate, and hate can lead even to murder. And let's take heed from this study. And now, as we come to the close of our lesson, we want to extend the Lord's invitation, and we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. What do we need to do? We need to first hear the truth. That's how our faith comes. But it doesn't stop there. We're to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins on the cruel cross of Calvary. He was perfect, without a blemish, and thus he was the Lamb of God going to the cross for our sins. That should motivate us to repent. It's necessary to make a change of wills and begin to do God's will, not our own will, like Cain, but submit to the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We're not there yet. We're ready to state that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. As we know in Romans 10:9-10, that's unto salvation. Here's the next step, which puts us into contact with the blood of Christ, and that's to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus shed his blood in his death. That's where we're going to contact it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then we need to live faithfully, even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.